The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." May the Lord be praised in the reading of his word. May we be blessed in its hearing, for this is the gospel of the Lord. Again, we're very happy to welcome Sister Agatha to share her message with us.
On behalf of the Catholic Archdiocese of Abuja, Nigeria, I bring greetings of peace. Good morning. My name is Agatha Chikelue, and I work as the director of Cardinal Onaiko Foundation for Peace. This is a foundation that was set up by the Catholic Archdiocese of Abuja to support families affected by the Boko Haram insurgency. Also, it is a foundation to serve as a platform for engaging people of other religious and cultural backgrounds in Nigeria in interfaith dialogue for peace, to dialogue and find ways of ending violence, especially religious violence in the country. Nigeria is a very unique country in different sense, in various sense. For instance, Nigeria is the country with the highest population in Africa. We are about 200 million people in Nigeria. And also, Nigeria is another unique country where you have the equal number of Christians living side by side by Muslims in the country. But unfortunately, this great country has been reduced to almost nothing and has been made popular in a very negative sense by an Islamic terrorist group called the Boko Haram. I guess many of us are familiar with the activities of Boko Haram in Nigeria. For this terrorist organization, if you do not believe in what they believe in, you are not only a target, but you are already condemned to die. And that was why they started their deadly activities by killing Christians in the country. They go around communities, families, public places, killing whoever that comes their way, especially the Christians when they started operating, the Boko Haram. If they enter a family, most of the time they kill the father. Sometimes they will abduct the father, but if they resist, they kill him Likewise, the mother. Sometimes they may want to kidnap them. If they refuse, they kill them. And they take away the children. They adopt the young people. They kidnap them. This is what they have been doing. An example of that is the kidnapping of over 250 Chibok school girls in Nigeria. They go around killing, destroying lives and properties, making life unbearable and difficult for a lot of people in the community. If they kidnap the young people, because that has been their target, once they kidnap, abduct these young people, they recruit them into their group. First of all, they try to indoctrinate them, radicalize them, and you know what? Either use them as their members or they turn them into suicide bombers, especially the young ones. And this is why, in public places today, you cannot move freely. People are mostly living in fear. You don't move out freely. In fact, if you are moving to a marketplace or a public place, and you see a child of 8, 9, 10 years running after you, coming to give you a hug or to give you a handshake, you better start running for your dear life, because you don't know whether a bomb has been tied under him or her by the Boko Haram. So it is so sad. It is a very sad situation. As if the activities of the Boko Haram is not enough, there came another terrorist group called the Herdsmen. These Herdsmen also have started by killing Christians in communities that are predominantly Christians. They go at midnight and slaughter them while they are sleeping, when they are harmless. They go kill them like cattle, kill them like goats in their sleep. In fact, 3 months ago, 2 priests was murdered while they were saying mass in one of the communities. And about 17 people who came for the morning mass was killed. They were buried in one day. If you open your internet, Google it, killing of the priest and those who came for mass. This just happened about 3 months ago in the country. But do you know the confusing thing now for us? The confusing thing for us now is that these people are not only killing the Christians, they are also killing the Muslims as well. So we don't know what they want, especially the Muslims who challenge them, who speak out, who tell them, look, hey, what we are doing is not right. This is not Islam. They follow them, they track them, they monitor them until they kill them. So they go to mosque. Recently, they've started going to the mosque to kill Muslims too, who are at prayers. They kill their clerics too. So because of this, there is this mass exodus of people from the northeast of the country and even north central. People started moving, running away from their communities to see if they will find shelter, if they would find protection in another part of the country. And the most unfortunate thing in all this is that we have a kind of government that have not responded the way they should in all these problems, in all these attacks. Our government have not shown much concern. They have not done enough to protect the lives of the harmless citizens. They have not done enough to guarantee their safety. On our roads, we have military blocks all over the place, yet people cannot be guaranteed of their safety. The governments are doing something but not enough for us. And this is why today, if the terrorists strike any community or family, instead of people running to the police station to complain or to stay there for protection, no, do you know what they do? They run to the church. They run to the schools. They run to the camps. they prefer to stay there than to go to the police, because many of us have lost hope in our government, in the police. Name them. It is so sad. And as a result of that, as I said earlier, so many families find themselves in the refugee camp. And in this camp, you get families that are not complete. Rarely, rarely you get a complete family in the camp. Sometimes you get a family where the husband has been killed, the mother is there with the children. Sometimes you get a family where the mother is no longer, they're either killed or kidnapped by the Boko Haram, the husband and the children are there. Sometimes you get a family where the husband and the wife is there, maybe they have four kids, two or three has been kidnapped by the Boko Haram or killed, and they have one, and they keep hoping that the rest will come back. And sometimes you have families where the parents are not there, just the children, the orphan. That's the kind of picture you see at the camps. And these people who are living in the camp live completely at the mercy and charity of organizations like ours and other so many NGOs and organizations, international and sometimes government organizations that come to bring relief materials to them. So when people bring clothing, food, materials for them, they will eat. If they run out of food, it becomes a problem. Meanwhile, some people in the camp, especially men, some of them were lucky enough to get job outside the camp, so they can work in the city and earn some money. But a lot of women couldn't get. A lot of them did all they could, did their possible best to see if they can get job in the city to sustain themselves and their families. They couldn't. Mind you, these people have their families. Some of them are business people. Some are farmers. Majority of them are farmers. So they ran away from their communities practically with nothing and find themselves in the camp. So there is no way of sustaining themselves because they have left the business, they have left the farmland, and they are in the camp. So they rely on people. They rely on the relief materials, which is never enough, which is not sustainable. And as a result of that, whenever, especially women and girls, when they run out of food, they go around begging for help. Begging for food, looking for money to support them so that they will be able to cater for the needs they have. And you know what? We realized recently that some of these women, a good number of them, are being abused in the camp. Because when they go out to ask for help, some people, some men, will demand to sleep with them, to have sex with them in exchange for helping them. And as a result of that, you find the situation whereby almost 70% of women in the camp are pregnant, either nursing a baby or they are about to give birth. It's not as if they plan to be pregnant in the camp. It's not as if they want to have a child at that time, but the situation they find themselves. And also girls, imagine girls of 13, 14, 15 years old, they are pregnant. Or maybe they are not seeing a baby in the camp. So, having discussed with some of these women, and by the way, we have in Abuja and its surrounding, we have about 8 to 9 camps, refugee camps, or what we call IDP camps. And in this camp, the population of people living there is about 8,000 to 9,000 persons living in one camp alone. The number of women is above 4,000, excluding men and children. So now, in these camps, we visited some of these camps when we heard about the problem, the challenges that they are facing, especially women. And we went to have discussions with them. And they told us that, look, yes, sister, I'm pregnant, I have my baby, not because I want, but because I can't help myself. I cannot. If you people will help us to become self-reliant, teach us a skill that will help us to do something and help ourselves, that's all we need. We don't want to continue to rely on the relief materials. We don't want to continue to rely on anybody. We know we are not lazy. We know we can fend for ourselves. All we need is help, support. If you can support us, we would be able to take up from there. And that was what we did. We went and budgeted to organize vocational skills training for 50 women in the camp. And that will cost us about $20,000. Because when we give them the training, we have to provide for them the materials, startup materials, to enable them to set up the business. Because if you train them and you don't give them the materials to start the business, they cannot even afford to start the business. So now we decided to train them on how to make pastries and bakery, how to make local snacks that sell quick in Nigeria. We taught them how to make jewelries, bead making, and then we taught them how to make liquid soaps, disinfectants, air freshener, and the rest of them. We plan to train 50 women, but at the end of the day, their number, they kept coming, and we are able to train 80, because we tell others, please wait, we can't continue. We don't have enough resources to continue the training. Mind you, women alone in one camp is over 4,000, but we managed to train 80 of them with $20,000. And as I'm talking to you, some of them are already living out of the camp because they have been able to do something to help themselves from the training we gave them, and they earned enough that they were able to rent houses outside the camp, and they are living in the community. But do you know the challenge we are having now? A whole lot of other camps are on our neck. They kept trooping to our office, asking for help, begging us to come and organize the empowerment program, the vocational program for them. A lot of them, even other women in that particular camp, because there are so many of them, are still on our neck begging us to please come to our aid. But the fact remains that we cannot do this alone. There is no way we can afford to go around 4,000 women in about 8-9 camps around Abuja. We don't have that kind of resources. And that is why I am here. Moreover, in some of the camps, in most of the camps, they don't even have education facilities. The children don't have access to good education. So in one of the camps, the foundation was able to put up a little learning structure for the children. We recruited teachers and we provided teaching materials. Up till now, the children are going to school in that particular camp. Then from time to time, from the money we raise from the appeals, we have been organizing free medical services for the children, because they cannot also afford to access free, quality medical services. So from time to time, we get doctors to go and immunize them, provide medical services to these children. All this we have been trying to do. But as I said earlier, we don't have enough to go around. Even the men too. The men, some who couldn't get a job outside, they were so depressed that they have resorted to drug addiction. Some of them are abusing substance because they couldn't help it. And they were like, oh sister, does it mean the foundation doesn't have any provision to help men, to support men? Please, we will appreciate if you would help us. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is why I am here today. To solicit, to beg, to ask for your kind, generous support, to enable us reach out to more women, to more men, to children who are languishing in suffering, in poverty, in the refugee camps in Nigeria. They need your help. They need your support. And the Archdiocese of Abuja and the Cardinal Onaiko Foundation for Peace cannot do this alone. We cannot afford resources to do this alone. And that is why we are calling on you to please support us. Whatever the Spirit moves you to give us, to do, be rest assured that it will be rewarded greatly by God. In front of you, you will see this envelope, the Missionary Cooperative Plan envelope. Please, whatever you feel like giving in to support our work, we'll be greatly blessed by God. And if you are not prepared this week, by next week, you can do something. And we will always pray for you. And God will reward you most abundantly. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.